Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, hello, my trauma healers, my community. Welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast, the episodes that are only available to you as a Circle member because you pay for this privilege. But I have another, I think, really good bonus episode in store for you today. It actually comes from kind of the culmination, I guess, of what I've learned about panic. So I'm not going to be like talking about my panic attacks or anything like that because I don't feel like that's necessary. But a couple months ago during the summer, I was doing a video about cold plunges. I posted on Instagram, but because I was naked in the water and you could see my nipples, Instagram took it down. But this summer I had the really cool experience of doing a cold plunge with a little girl in my community. She's 10 years old, and we were at Lake Superior together and we're planning to all swim together, but the water ended up being way colder than we were expecting it to be. And so we weren't really in like a swimming mood, but because we were there, I was like, well, I'm going to go ahead and do a cold plunge. So I went in the water and I was doing my breathing and I was focusing, you know, on the water and on my body and being neutral about the sensation, not thinking of it as pain or cold, but just as a neutral sensation that I'm experiencing because I'm in this water and it's cold and I have the agency to get out of this water anytime. I don't have to stay in this uncomfortable situation for any longer than I want to be here. And I mean, if you've downloaded the free training on how to hack your nervous system with cold plunges, then you know all of this. So I won't elaborate too much on that. But if you haven't downloaded that training yet, it's at lindsaylockett.com/cold plunge. And it's a free training on how to hack your nervous system with cold plunges. Anyway, so I was in the water doing a cold plunge and my best friend and my husband and my best friend's daughter and my best friend's niece were all with. And my best friend's niece, who is 10 years old, was like, I want to try. I want to do this cold water thing. I want to try. So I swam over to her and she was like slowly lowering herself into the water. And I could see the like kind of look of panic in her eyes. And I could see her body tense up and I saw the goosebumps all over her skin and I heard her breath sort of gasping. And all of these things are very, very normal reactions to cold. They're all nervous system responses to cold because your body is communicating that this water is not okay with it. Like this water is a potential, you know, loss of life situation. It's a survival situation. So your body, you know, your breath quickens and your heart rate quickens and you get these goosebumps on your skin and you gasp and it's your body just being like, get the fuck out of here. Like this is not okay. You could die in this cold water. So as I was helping her focus on her breathing and I was communicating to her what I communicate to you guys in the free training on cold plunges, just to breathe really deeply, to notice any tension in your muscles that are constricted and contracted and see if you can relax them, to not try to judge or name the feeling as cold or uncomfortable, but just to notice that it's there and that it's only there because you're in this cold water. And then it can become a very neutral thing rather than a threat to your survival. So I was doing all of this with this little girl. And she did end up getting all the way into the cold water and she was really proud of herself and looked over at me with a big smile. And I looked back at her and I said, isn't it amazing what we can do when we don't panic? And my own quote has sat with me now for a couple of months, and I've been able to reuse it over and over again in the last couple of months as I've navigated normal life difficulties. Like, nothing crazy has come up, just normal life stuff. But I've kind of had that quote in the back of my head, like, isn't it amazing what you can do when you don't panic, Lindsay? Like, look at you go when you don't panic. Anyway, that got me thinking also about, what is panic? Like, what is it? And I was very embodied whenever I was asking this question. So it wasn't like a question I was asking in my head. It was like a question I was asking in my body. Like, what does it mean to be panicked? Like, you know, does it mean being hysterical? Does it mean hyperventilating? Does it mean like a panic attack? Like, what does being panicked mean? And from a very embodied space, the answer came to me. And I wonder if it resonates with you. So here's the definition, I guess you could call it, of what panic is. And it's when you're in a stressful situation and your body wants to move. So your body wants to run away or shake or cry or, you know, gesticulate wildly or whatever it is that you do when your body takes over, but the mind overrides it. So the body wants to move and the mind is like, no, be still, don't move. And the feeling that that creates is what I call panic. So think about like what you do whenever you're feeling panicked, right? You hyperventilate. You shake, you're like, I can't feel this way. I can't do this. Like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe. You know, like all of that. And that's your body is like, I got to move. I got to move. I got to move. Like, I need to cry. I need to run around the block. I need to take really deep breaths. I need to shake. Like, your body is communicating that it wants to move through sensations, because your body doesn't communicate with words, of course. But your mind, the ego, is like, keep yourself under control. You are going to look like an idiot. Don't act like a child. God, don't throw a fit like a child. Jesus, pull yourself together. You know? Oh no, what are people going to think of you? Everybody's watching you. Suck it up, buttercup. You know? Like, that's the mind, the ego that comes in that situation. When the body is like, I just got to move. Like, the body is neutral, right? The body is not assigning judgment to you're shaking or you're crying or you're running around the block. The body is not judging it. It's the mind. It's the ego that comes in and is like, psh, don't do that. Like, that's ridiculous. You're being ridiculous. Pull yourself together. Get yourself under control. You know, you can't do this in public. You're making a spectacle. That's the mind. And so then the energy that's created when you have this like dissonance between the body needing to move and the mind denying the body movement creates a state of panic. So now I want to share with you what I experienced this past week. I guess this is out of the ordinary. I had an MRI on Thursday, October 7th. On my right hip, my psoas. I've talked about this so much. If you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know that I have this very chronic and mysterious pain in my right hip. It's like my psoas muscle. It's partially in my lower back, and then it's mirrored in the front. It's not actually the hip itself. And I've done chiropractic, physical therapy, manual osteopathy, Rolfing, myofascial massage, stretching it, exercising it, resting it, heat, cold, CBD with THC. Like, I've done all the things. I've even asked my body, like, what does this pain mean? What are you trying to tell me? When I was on a psychedelic trip. And I have some ideas. I'm not ready to share those ideas yet, but either way, like, even if I know why my body is manifesting this pain, still nothing that I've been able to do has gotten rid of it or has healed it or has even brought me any relief, to be honest. And so I decided that I was going to go get an MRI to see if there was some sort of explanation for what was going on. I've already had an x-ray on this hip and the x-ray showed absolutely nothing. But of course, we know that MRIs can show more than x-rays. So on Thursday, I went for an MRI. And this is kind of a funny story because I didn't realize how enclosed and tight a space laying inside of an MRI machine is. I grew up in the Texas Panhandle, and I remember the commercials for our local hospital coming on TV when I was a kid. And our local hospital had a whole commercial dedicated to their open air MRI. And so it showed a person like laying down and this, you know, cylinder thing was around them, but there was plenty of room for them and they were smiling and everything was fine. And so I've never had an MRI before and I've never seen other hospitals' MRIs. And I guess I just thought every place was open air MRI because that's what the commercial on TV when I was a kid showed. So when I showed up to the clinic to get this MRI on Thursday and I saw the like tiny coffin basically that I was going to have to lay inside of for 40 minutes, I was like, oh shit, because I have been hella claustrophobic in my life. I cannot stand tightly enclosed spaces. Like I'm okay on like elevators, closets, places like that. When I'm not okay is like when I can't move or if it's really hot and stuffy and I can't move. Like one of my worst fears is being on the bottom of like a dog pile of other humans. Like I could never play tackle football and be tackled and risk being on the bottom of the pile. So I have this intense like claustrophobia and it's very real for me and I can't even like nobody's ever been able to like put a pillow over my head. Even if we're like having a pillow fight and playing around or something, like I cannot handle it. I will immediately go into a panic. And now that I'm talking about this, I'm thinking, this is probably something that I need to heal, but I can't do that right now. Cause right now I'm recording this podcast. But anyway, I saw this tightly enclosed space and I was like, well, shit, it's not the open air MRI. And I even joked with the MRI technician that this was the kind of commercial that I grew up watching. And so it was kind of a shock for me to see how enclosed a space this was. So anyway, he was like, well, are you going to be okay? Did your doctor prescribe you something to take for panic? And I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. No, my doctor didn't prescribe me anything, but I'll be fine. And I kind of jokingly said, I've been training for this. So I laid down on the machine and they put the things over me and kind of closed me in around. And then they handed me like a button that I would hold in my hand. And if at any moment during the MRI I got panicked or they didn't make me take my nose ring out and I have metal permanent retainers in my mouth. And so the panic button was also like if your nose ring or your retainers in your mouth start vibrating or heating up because of the magnet of this MRI, like press the panic button and we'll get you out immediately. Or if you start feeling panicky, like you're going to hyperventilate or have a panic attack, like press the panic button and we'll get you out immediately. So I had an out, right? And I jokingly was like, no, I'll be fine. I've been training for this. So then they get me in the machine. I'm holding my panic button and I close my eyes and the machine like pushes me into the like enclosed tight space tunnel. And then it made all kinds of noise. I was wearing like noise canceling headphones, but I could still hear the noises of the MRI machine. It was really, really loud. And of course you can't move when you're in an MRI machine. So this was kind of a tricky thing for me because I was like, I'm feeling this energy of anxiety and panic in my body and my body wants to move and get the fuck out of here, but I literally can't. So it definitely was an energy of panic because my body was like, move. And my mind was like, you can't. So do you see the dissonance that I'm talking about here? And so the only thing that I could do was breathe. That's literally the only thing I could do. So I just started breathing and I just breathed as much as I could into my diaphragm without moving my belly too much since I was having the MRI like in my belly pelvis area. And I just breathed and I breathed. And I mean, I'm so thankful that I've been learning how to meditate for the last 2 years, because if I hadn't been practicing meditation, I wouldn't have been able to do this. And it was such a stretch for me. Honestly, it was such a stretch. And I never opened my eyes the entire time I was in the MRI. I've never laid completely still for so long in my whole life. And I couldn't discharge the energy immediately because I couldn't move. So I just breathed. That's all I could do was breathe. I literally didn't have another choice. And I'm so freaking proud of myself, because that is not something I could have done probably even a year ago, to be honest with you. And as I was laying there breathing, I wasn't thinking that much. Like, my mind kept trying to think, but I was like, no, I'm not going to allow this thinking right now, because if I allow my thinking brain to come online right now, then I'm definitely going to start having like a panic attack or hyperventilating or something. So I can't allow the thinking. So I literally just focused on my breath. I focused on breathing slowly. I focused on counting breaths. I focused on the sensation of my breath as it went in my body and then as it went out of my body. I was very, very grounded in my body for the entire time. And I did have a feeling of anxiety for most of the time I was in there, but I just kept breathing. And I just reminded myself, like, you don't need to panic. Like, there's nothing you can do. You're going to be okay. Everything is fine. You're safe. I know this is uncomfortable, but you've been training for this. Your meditation practice and your cold plunges have been training you for not only this like intense level of focus that you're needing, but also this insanely uncomfortable situation that you're in right now. So then when the MRI was over and they pulled me out and they were like, you were so still, like, you did such a good job. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I am. I am okay. And I had thought to myself while I was in the MRI, like, I'm probably going to need to shake whenever I get out of here. Like, the energy is going to be so intensely built up in my body that I'm going to need to shake. I didn't even need to shake. Like, I remained present with the sensations. I breathed. I remained grounded in my body. And when it was over, it was over. And like, I haven't had nightmares about it. I haven't had panic attacks about it. No flashbacks about it. Like, nothing. And I am a very claustrophobic person, you guys. Like, I should not have been able to lay in this MRI and be completely calm and remain centered and grounded in my body and in my breath. Like, there's no logical explanation other than I've just been training for that. You know, like, I've been intentionally putting myself in uncomfortable situations and leaning into it and seeing how far can I go. And then it occurred to me when I got in my car to come home, my little quote came into my head, like, isn't it amazing what you can do when you don't panic? And I just smiled and kind of chuckled to myself. And then I got in the car and I turned on a podcast and I drove home. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because, first of all, like, I'm just going to brag on myself. Like, I fucking did a 40-minute MRI in basically a like tightly enclosed tube. And that would have been impossible for me. Not that long ago, I wouldn't have made it. Like, I would have had to go back for 2 MRIs or something because I wouldn't have been able to make it that long. But like, the presence piece was so crucial for me because my mind kept wanting to be like, what? I mean, it was thinking so many irrational things. This is why I really was like having to stay in my body, because my mind kept piping up and it was having all of these irrational thoughts. Like, one of the things I was thinking while I was in the MRI, because there was 2 guys outside of the room, but we were the only 3 people like in the vicinity because it was done in like an outdoor building. Like, they have a separate small outdoor building that's only for MRIs at this hospital. And so it was just these 2 guys and me. And they, of course, were in another room because I was in the MRI room. And so one of the thoughts that was going through my head was like, what if one of them leaves to go get coffee or take a break or something, and the other one like gets on his phone and forgets about me, or the other one like passes out, and then I push the panic button and nobody's there to hear me, and then I'm stuck in this machine forever. Another thought that I had was, what if the electricity goes out and they can't open the door and they can't get me out of this machine because there's no electricity to get me out? Another thought that I was having was like, you know, I have these metal coils inside my body from when I had my pelvic vein embolization done. And an MRI, of course, is a big magnet. And there were some adjustments that they had to make to the machine in order to be compatible with my coils. But I was still having these like horrible thoughts of like, what if this magnet dislocates my coils, you know? So, I mean, that's the kind of like catastrophizing that the anxious mind, you know, comes in with whenever you're in really stressful situations. But I didn't have a choice, right? I mean, I guess I could have been like, no, I'm not having the MRI, but like, that's what I was there for. So it truly was an exercise in how far have I come exactly? Like, we're going to test. We're really going to push the limits here and see what I can handle. And I tell you what, laying in that MRI machine was so much harder than any cold water I've ever been in. Even when the water was like 46 degrees, which is the coldest I've ever been in, being in that MRI machine for 40 minutes and not being able to move was infinitely harder than that. But I'm telling you, it's amazing what you can do when you don't panic. You can literally accomplish so much when you don't panic. And panicking, believe it or not, this may be a hot take here, like, nobody cancel me. Of course, you're always welcome to give me your feedback. That's what the forum is for. So please go to the forum if you have thoughts about this and give me your feedback. But I would even go so far as to say that panicking is a choice, because your body is trying to move by shaking, crying, running, you know, whatever it is that it's trying to do. Your body's trying to move, and the ego is not allowing the body to move. It's trying to keep you still, to keep you, you know, dignified or not looking like a spectacle in public or whatever. And then the mind will even go a step further, right? It's like, it's not only just trying to keep you still, but then the mind will go a step further and be like, if I can think about this situation enough, then that's somehow going to change the outcome. So then your mind is like, no, you're not allowed to move because you're going to look like an idiot. Like, you have to be still because it's not appropriate, or you're going to make a spectacle out of yourself and you need to just pull yourself together and not be so ridiculous. But then the mind is like, and now I'm just going to think about this situation and overthink about it to the point that you're even more panicked because you've created even more feelings in your body because your mind has like run away, like a runaway train. So the mind is like, if I can just think about this situation enough, then that's going to somehow change the outcome. And I'm not just talking about specifically with my MRI, like, no amount of the irrational thoughts that I was having about the MRI techs forgetting about me or the power going out and not being able to get out of the machine or no amount of thinking about any of that would have changed any of it if any of it had happened, right? But the mind, the ego, is like, no. Even though I know it won't change anything, I'm going to think about it anyway, because maybe if I think about it, it might change something. But even it won't, but it might. You see what I mean? Like, please tell me I'm not the only one who's ever experienced this. So I realize it might be a hot take to be like, panic is a choice. But if I hadn't experienced literally 2 years of putting myself in intentionally uncomfortable situations so as to get comfortable in the discomfort, then I wouldn't know that I know that panic is a choice. You know, just like whenever I was helping that 10-year-old girl get into the cold water, her body was needing to move. Her body was wanting to get out of the water. Her body was like gasping. Her body was having cold chills. Her body was experiencing muscle tension and contraction, like all of that. Her body was doing the things. Her mind was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. I mean, she's 10, so she probably wasn't saying that exactly, but you know, a similar thing. And by me guiding her, like, and offering the co-regulation of my presence, like I was a grounded presence in the water. I wasn't panicking. I wasn't freaking out. And so I think we all know that it's easier to remain calm when we're around other people who are calm and not freaking out. But I've certainly been around calm people before and have panicked anyway. And so she could have panicked. Like she totally could have. And she's 10 years old. So she may have even had like more justification for panicking than some adults because she doesn't have the knowledge that I'm sharing right now, right? But she didn't panic. And now after having experienced this thing with the MRI and all the cold plunges that I've done, I mean, literally the hundreds of cold plunges that I've done, all of the ways that I have leaned into discomfort in order to widen my window of tolerance so that I can tolerate stress better and not panic when I'm faced with stress truly, truly pays off. And I'm not exaggerating when I say, like, when I told the MRI tech, I've been training for this. I didn't explain what that meant. It was like a little joke that I was saying, but inside myself, I knew what it meant. And I truly have been training for that. You know, I've been training for 2 years now to be in uncomfortable situations and be okay. And that MRI was probably by far one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever experienced in my life. And I made it. I was okay because I know how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I know how to ground myself in my body. I know how to connect with my breath and breathe. I know how to tune into my body instead of listening to the runaway train of my mind. And I'm sharing all of this for a few reasons. So first, I'm curious what you think about my definition of panic. So again, I'll remind you, my definition of panic is when the body wants to move and discharge energy, but the mind overrides it. So the body is like stuck in this dissonance of wanting to move this energy and the mind is like, no, pull yourself together. And the state that that creates is panic. So I would love to know what you think about that and if you would add anything to it or if you're like, no, that's total bullshit. I don't buy that at all. That's not what panic is. So first of all, I would love to know, like, what does it feel like in your body when I describe what panic is? The second thing I want to know is, for those of you who feel like you've got a good grasp on your nervous system regulation, you feel like you have good tools in your toolbox, you know what to reach for when you're in a moment of stress, you know how to tune into the breath, you know how to ground yourself into the earth, you know how to, you know, do tapping or shaking or dancing or whatever it is that you like to do to regulate your nervous system. If you feel like you have a good grasp on that, then do you think you've become even more sensitive to the energy of panic? And I don't mean sensitive like you panic more often. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, do you sense that energy coming on? And because you know what regulated feels like, because you know what it's like to be in a place of nervous system calmness, do you think that that makes you even more sensitive to the energy of panic to the point that you're like, no, I actually know what panic feels like and I would rather stay calm. So I choose to regulate myself. I choose to ground myself. So that would be my second question. What is your experience with that? Like, the longer you go with regulating your nervous system, do you feel like you're even more sensitive to the energy of panic to the point that you're like, I definitely choose not to panic? And then my third question is, do you think panicking is a choice? If we feel the energy moving in our body and our body wanting to move with that energy by crying or shaking or running or shivering or whatever it's doing, And then the mind comes in and is like, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to look ridiculous. Suck it up, buttercup. You know, like pull yourself together. Do you think that staying with the body and not allowing the mind to come in and take over is a choice? And maybe there's a lot of nuance to this question, right? There's not like a clear yes, no answer. But I think it goes back to my second question that I asked before this one, which is like, the more experience you have with regulating your nervous system, do you find you are more sensitive to the energy of panic? And does that enable you and empower you to choose not to let your mind run away with things because you want to remain present in the body and you want to move with those emotions and allow them to, you know, flow through you however they need to do that, and you allow that movement to happen? So do you think panic is a choice? So these are some really tough questions and things that I want you to sit with, but I also want you to come to the forum and I want you to share your answers with me after you listen to this episode, because I think everyone's answers might be different and that's okay. I don't think there is a right and a wrong answer. I guess I could have shared a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode and been like, this is my experience and this is my definition, but I want to know what you think. So come to the forum. We have a lot of new circle members, and I just want to remind everyone that the community forum is there for you. You can use it at any time, anywhere. It is compatible with your phone. You can also use it on a tablet or on a laptop. And I hope with the recent Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp outages that you realize how lucky we are to have off social media community, because those things can go down permanently and it doesn't have to affect anything that we do in the trauma healer circle space. And that's why I wanted to build online community off social media. I mean, I didn't specifically like have it in my mind, you know, we should build offline off social media community just in case Instagram ever goes down. That never occurred to me. There's a lot of other reasons why I have this community off social media. But then when Instagram and Facebook went down, I was like, huh, look at that. We can just keep going with our community and we don't have to have any interruptions because it's not on social media and I'm not relying on someone else to host it. I'm hosting it myself. Like, the only way this community is going down is if the whole internet goes down. And if that happens, we're all screwed. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to take advantage of the forum. Like, I know forums are kind of old school. I know that's something that people were doing like in the early 2000s, and by like 2010, forums had kind of fizzled out. But with the divisiveness and the polarity and the censoring of social media, with the unethical qualities of social media, I'm really grateful that I chose to build this community off social media. I'm glad it's not in a Facebook group. I really, really am. So I want to encourage you to use the forum. Hopefully you can help to contribute to a conversation about panic with the questions that I asked in this episode. And I think that's all I have for you today, friends. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of my circle, and I will catch you again soon.